The Bible tells us that true love suffers long and is kind and rejoices in truth. God's kind of love is not easily provoked and does not rejoice in sin. True love endures. That kind of love is impossible without the power of the Holy Spirit living in our lives. Elizabeth Elliot has experienced great loss, but her message continues to focus on the love that triumphs in the face of evil. Welcome to Gateway to Joy.
It is the Lord who goes before you. He will be with you. He will not fail you or forsake you. So do not be afraid or dismayed. That promise given thousands of years ago by Moses to Joshua is for you and me today, for all who are willing to follow the Lord. This is your friend, Elizabeth Elliot, talking with you today about a very interesting editorial that my brother Phil, who lives in Edmonton, Alberta, sent me from a Canadian magazine called the Alberta Report. And it's written by a man named Link Byfield, who happens to be the editor-publisher of the Alberta Report, and the title of his essay is Thus Spake the Lord Unto the Edmonton Public School Board. I never expected to see a public school system sit down and write a creed. The Christian creed, after all, took about 3 centuries to be formalized, and the Ten Commandments were delivered directly to Moses by the almighty hand of God on a mountaintop wrapped in cloud and glory. Not so the 12-point statement of beliefs of the Edmonton Public School Board. They were revealed over 3 days last June to a strategic planning committee of 3 trustees, the superintendent, 8 central office personnel, 3 principals, 3 teachers, 2 students, 5 community volunteers, 4 representatives from various unions, 1 city bureaucrat, 1 university prof, and a provincial deputy minister. So speaketh the EPSB, which of course stands for the Edmonton Public School Board, unto the children of Edmonton, numerals added, he says. And this is the creed that the public school board came up with. 1, all human life is sacred. 2, the fulfillment of basic needs is a fundamental human right. 3, it is the nature of human beings to create order in their world. 4, all people have an obligation for the health and well-being of others. 5, individuals have the capacity and responsibility to direct their own lives. 6, ultimately, society thrives to the degree that individuals contribute more to society than society contributes to individuals. 7, every individual can contribute to society. 8, each individual is responsible for the health of the earth. 9, individual potential is unlimited. 10, a sense of purpose is necessary for self-fulfillment. 11, the individual's self-worth is dependent upon the recognition of his or her uniqueness. 12, achievement is the measure of success. Well, those are the 12 tenets of the EPSB creed, and I wonder if any of them sort of clanged in your mind instead of rang a melodious bell. Well, they certainly did in mine, and they did in Mr. Byfield's. He goes on to say, if you ever wanted a manifesto of distilled educational moonshine, this is it. Don't look for coherence. There isn't any. Besides, we have been specifically enjoined by one of the committee's facilitator disciples not to, quote, infer anything beyond the words, period, unquote. By which she means we are not permitted to go inside the words to find out what, if anything, they say. For instance, does human life include such incidental things as fetuses? Does sacred mean there is a God? How can we all be held responsible for the health of the earth? In the absence of any explanation, of course, the words mean whatever you want. But some can have no intelligent meaning at all. 10, for instance, and this is what 10 says, a sense of purpose is necessary for self-fulfillment. He says 10 could be expressed, a sense of purpose is necessary for a sense of purpose. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense, does it? distilled educational moonshine. And number 12 says achievement is the measure of success. Number 12 could be stated, success is the measure of success. You understand that? Achievement is the measure of success. Really, he doesn't say anything more than success is the measure of success. Others, he says, are just as foolish and false, numbers 9 and 11 in particular. Number 9, individual potential is unlimited. Now, isn't that baloney? Isn't that distilled educational moonshine? We all know that our individual potential is limited. He says, if I were an EPSB student, however, I would write number 5 on my forehead in Gothic script. Number 5 says, individuals have the capacity and responsibility to direct their own lives. Then, as I went around vandalizing school buses, stealing from the cafeteria, peddling crack to my friends, and making fun of my teacher in class, I would repeat EPSB moral revelation number 5, individuals have the capacity and responsibility to direct their own lives. Oh no, the authorities would protest in dismay. You want to pay attention to rule number 4, the one about an obligation for the health and well-being of others. No, I would reply, that is a straight contradiction of number 5. So one or the other is false. You can follow the ones you like, and I'll follow the ones I like. And you'll recall that my life is sacred. My self-worth is dependent on recognition of my uniqueness, and my potential is unlimited. So get out of my face. What is so significant about this bizarre credo is not its inordinate cost to the taxpayer, nor the flaunting of such idiocy by people supposedly trained to think, nor even its confession of a kind of New Age quasi-theology in a system which professes to uphold nothing of the sort. The punchline comes in the strategic objectives following the creed. The school board's object is that all students should achieve success in their next venture or meet and exceed the requirements of their individual educational programs. Excuse me, but as much as we all appreciate sentimental well-wishing, this is not properly the purpose of the EPSB. Rather, it is to offer sound lessons to children. And unless the studies are to be reduced to the level of the least motivated and least competent, the EPSB knows very well that some students will fail. So why say your job is to achieve the impossible? There is the clear implication in the EPSB's approach that all children have a right to pass any course they please. Remember, we have accepted as dogma, not to be questioned, that human potential is unlimited. That being so, a school has no right to fail a student and must therefore reduce standards until none fails. If this sounds far-fetched, scan through those 12 articles of faith once again. Well, I was very interested that they used the word sacred. That's the end of the quotation from Link Byfield, and now you're back to Elizabeth Elliot again. Sacred, that means dedicated or set apart as to a god, holy, consecrated, inviolable, protected by sanctions. Is that a description of human life? Well, to us Christians it is, in a manner of speaking. We are, human life is sacred when it is set apart to God, and we certainly ought to treat all human life as inviolable. That, with that, I would agree. But does the word imply anything to do with religion? Well, in this case, the school board would say no, and we're not supposed to introduce words like sacred into the school curriculum, with the exception of human life, and yet the question remains as to what view they would take of the life of an unborn fetus. Achieve success in their next venture? Is that what the school board's object is? Well, you couldn't help wondering what some of those next ventures might be. If the object is to make money, it's well to remember that there are honest and dishonest methods of achieving success there. Suppose the student's next venture was to be a bank robber. it certainly is not the responsibility of the school board that he achieves success there. Well, so much for the distilled educational moonshine. I do listen to a certain amount of television, usually the news, and I hear a lot of moonshine there, as you do too. In Judge Thomas's trial, one girl's comment about Anita Hill's testimony was this, and listen carefully here. "Even if people don't believe what she's saying, I think they all respect her for having the guts to say it." Now, I'll read that again, and you think about it. "Even if people don't believe what she's saying, I think they respect her for having the guts to say it." And I said to myself, how's that again? And to rephrase what she said, what this girl said, it comes out, "Even if it didn't happen, everybody respects the courage of a woman who tells us it did." I wouldn't respect the courage of a woman who told us that something happened, even if it didn't, would you? We need to start thinking and trying to think clearly and listening to the meanings of words and understanding what people are really trying to say. You know, it is in the rape of language that our thoughts are raped and our concepts are reshaped. It is a master technique of all those who would monitor our thinking. Paul says that we are to learn to think clearly, to let God remold our minds from within. Let's pray that God will alert us to crooked thinking and correct our thinking, that we may learn to think as he does.
Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your gateway to joy. Join us next time for more encouragement and challenge from Elizabeth Elliott. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.